Genesis 9:9-17 from the Common English Bible. God said to Noah and to his sons with him, I am now setting up my covenant with you, with your descendants, and with every living being with you, with the birds, with the large animals, and with all the animals of the earth, leaving the ark with you. I will set up my covenant with you so that never again will all life be cut off by flood waters. There will never again be a flood to destroy the earth. God said, this is a symbol of the covenant that I am drawing up between me, you, and every living thing with you on behalf of the future generation. I have placed my bow in the clouds. It will be the symbol of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring the clouds over the earth, the bow appears in the clouds. I will remember the covenant between me and you and every living being among all the creatures. Flood waters will never again destroy the creatures. The bow will be in the clouds, and upon seeing it, we will remember the enduring covenant between God and every living being of all of Earth's creatures. God said to Noah, this is the symbol of covenant that I've set up between me and all the creatures of the earth. For the word of the God, for the people of God.
I want to begin this morning with a question for you all. Do you all know why on Noah's ark they couldn't eat apples? Anyone? Because they only came in pairs. Do you know why Noah punished the chickens that were on the ark? Because they were using foul language. Do you know how many people went on board the ark before Noah? Three. We know that because the scripture says, and Noah went forth. You can Google jokes about Noah and the ark, and there are thousands and thousands of them. I chose the worst of them for you this morning. It is interesting because it's one of those stories that's in the Bible for us, but it also makes its way into literature and seems to be everybody kind of knows the story of Noah and the ark. The ark was built by Noah to save his family and the animals from this great flood. So the ark becomes this symbol of God's judgment of sin and God's promise of salvation and God's provision for all of God's people. In the 8th chapter, just before where Anderson read today, it tells the story of the dove. And the dove becomes this symbol of peace. After the flood, Noah released this dove, and it returned with an olive branch in its beak. And it was that showing of the end of God's judgment and the beginning of a new covenant for God's people. And then the rainbow. The rainbow is a symbol of God's faithfulness and God's promise to never again destroy the earth by flood. It comes from the story of Noah and the flood. And after the flood, like Anderson read, God placed this rainbow in the sky as a covenant with Noah and the people never to destroy the earth again with a flood. And so the story of Noah is pretty common, the ark and the animals, and that great ending of the story is about God's promise, not just to Noah, but really to all of humanity, that never again would God send a flood to destroy the earth. And that sign of God's promise would be that God placed this bow, this rainbow in the clouds. And whenever we see a rainbow, we're reminded of God's promise. There's just something special and hopeful about rainbows. There's some things that you may already know, and Elsa talked about kind of the scientific part of a rainbow. I remember, I think I was in seventh grade earth science, when we had to memorize the colors of the spectrum. They're red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. So when you see a rainbow, you always see those colors in that order. It takes two things for a rainbow to happen. It takes those droplets of water suspended in the sky and the sun shining on them. You may not have known this. Rainbows appear to be an arc or a half circle, but they actually go all the way around. That the reason that they look like a half circle, an arc to us, is because we're standing on the earth. If you were up in an airplane and could look down on a rainbow, you could see it was a circle, a never-ending circle. So if you're hunting for that pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, you're never going to find it because there's really no end to a rainbow. Those are some of the technical truths about rainbows, but that doesn't really explain why we get excited to see rainbows, why they're kind of a lift for us, these wonders of nature. There was a father and son, young son, who were out walking after a storm, and they saw a rainbow, and the son asked Dad if he could explain what a rainbow was, and so he gave that scientific explanation about the droplets of water and the sun shining on them, and like we had talked about, and then the son said, "No, I don't think that's right. I think a rainbow is when God is standing on his head and smiling after he eats a bag of Skittles." Maybe so, I don't know. But there's just something about rainbows that lift our spirits, whether we're young or old. One of the things that we know about rainbows is that rainbows follow storms. Maybe that's the reason that we love them so much. No matter how fierce the storm might be, if we see a rainbow afterwards, it's a sign of hope for us. Over the past few years, we've had some real flooding along the Gulf Coast. And after each one of those floods, I ask you all for help in either putting together or donating money for cleaning buckets, the United Methodist Committee on Relief and their cleaning buckets. And you always come through, and I appreciate that. But those cleaning buckets, they become this tangible symbol of hope. Hope for those that have had damage from the storms. You know, the Bible tells us that God comforts us when we are suffering. And from God's comfort, we learn to comfort others. Rainbows always follow storms. I think rainbows also remind us of the beauty of God's world. You know, there's scientists and those who talk about the earth being created by a big bang or that just happened by blind chance, and they have great arguments for all that. But I wonder if anybody asks him then, you know, if you think about the beauty of creation, where does that fit in? Why do we have this great love for rainbows and flowers? There's a great story of a little girl who grew up in the big city, and one day they went out on a field trip, and they went out into the countryside. And when she saw all the flowers that were there in the woods, she said, do you think God would mind if I pick some of his flowers? I mean, that's the way we ought to feel about creation. This is God's beautiful world, a world God filled with rainbows and flowers. No, nobody ever seems to want to talk about that, though, why there's so much beauty in the world. You know, we want people to explain why there's suffering and cancer and storms, and we live in this world where God has given us free will, where we have the ability to make choices, and sometimes bad comes from the poor choices that we make. That's just part of the process. But how do you explain the beauty that you see all around you as the flowers are blooming this time of the year? How do you explain rainbows? They're not necessary for our survival. There's no evolutionary function for rainbows or flowers. They're simply there as as evidence of a gift from a loving and gracious God. Great signs of God's love for us. I think that's the way it is with creation. When we look at a rainbow, we see the nature of God. That God is a God of love who colors our world with beauty. So rainbows always follow a storm. And rainbows remind us of the beauty of God's world that we live in. I think the most important thing is that rainbows remind us that we are in this covenant relationship with God. That God made a promise to Noah and sealed that promise with a rainbow. And God, the Bible is full of those promises. God made a promise to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. In fact, when I was doing youth work, when our high school seniors graduated, we would give them this book, The Bible Promises for Graduates. And you can look up things like confidence or decisions or doubt or integrity or provision. And as you look through this, there are about 3,000 promises that God has made to us throughout the Scriptures. 3,000 promises. Promises are important to God, just like they're important to us. A little bit earlier in the service, on my honor, I will do my best to do my duty to God and my country. That's the scout's promise. I do solemnly swear that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States and will do the best of my ability to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. That's the promise that our president makes. To have and to hold from this day forward for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish until death do us part. That's the promise that couples make to each other when they get married. With God's help, we will so order our lives after the example of Christ, that this child, surrounded by steadfast love, may be established in the faith, and confirmed and strengthened in the way that leads to life eternal. That's the promise we make every time someone is baptized here in this church. With you, we renew our vows to uphold the church with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. That's the promise every new member makes, and that's the promise we reaffirm every time new people join our church. Promises are important. But the thing is, a promise is only as good as the character of the one who makes the promise. The one who made 3,000 promises to us in Scripture has a perfect character. When God promises that God will be with us throughout the storms of life, you can count on that. When God says we are accepted just as we are, you can take that to the bank. When God tells us there is a place prepared for us, and that where God is, we may be also, you can look forward to that. And when God promises that there is nothing in creation that can separate us from God's love, then relax. Our lives are taken care of. So I hope that you'll remember that next time you see a rainbow. I tried to coordinate the weather today with my message and so that it would rain a little bit and then we'd leave here from church and there'd be a rainbow out there. I'm not sure if that's going to be the case, though. But I want you to remember that this wasn't simply a promise that God made to Noah, that the earth would never be destroyed again. But I want you to remember all the promises that God makes through the Scriptures and the promises that we make to one another. After the storm, there's a rainbow. Rainbows remind us of the beauty of all of God's creation. And rainbows remind us that God has made us a promise. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen.